Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship. It is good to be together. This is my favorite time of week, even whenever we're about a third of our whole crew. Man, my heart longs for Sunday mornings together. This is good for me to gather in the presence of our God, to turn our hearts for really one thing, and that is to worship Him, to be aware of His presence here with us, to seek His guidance, to seek His strength, to just affirm our love for Christ. There's nothing more important that we could do in this space, in this time, than gather as His people and lift up the name of Jesus. And so it gives my heart joy to do it with you. Folks who are joining from home, this is Communion Sunday, so make sure that you've got your communion elements ready to go so you can participate as well. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I want to hear some words from Colossians that put Christ in the center of all that we're doing. This is why we're here. This is who we have gathered to worship. Colossians chapter 1 from the Message. We look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is He, so expansive that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what He does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of Him, giving Him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving Himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in His presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, that's why we're here. Because at one time we were far from God. There was a real time in all of our lives that we didn't know of God or didn't care to know of God, or that we simply wanted to do what we wanted to do with no input from God. And yet, oh Jesus, You carried all of our sin, all of our separation on the cross and invited us back to the table of our God. Back into that relationship, back into that grace and that love. You, oh Jesus, are the one who makes us whole and holy. And so here we are to join all creation and all the angels in lifting up Your name. For You, oh Jesus, are worthy of all we have to give. And we are here, Jesus, because we need You. We need to hear from You. We need Your guidance. We need Your encouragement. We need Your love. And we need Your grace. And so that receiving all Your good gifts, we can pour them out to this world that needs them too. And so, Lord, in this next hour, may all of that happen right here in this place. And it can happen because You are here. Your Spirit is with us. Let us see You, let us feel You, let us know You, and most of all, let us be changed by You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Once, when He was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them." But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and be cured of their diseases. But he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. Would you pray with me? And now, Father God, we turn to your word, not because we want a history lesson, but because we want to hear from you anew, right here, right now, today. Because we believe, oh God, that you want to speak to us, your children, and that you've given us this gift of your word, not just old stories, but our story, that we enter into. The truths that were true for them are true for us, because you are Lord of all. And so, God, open our hearts, open our ears. We're here to receive you, to encounter you, to be changed by you. And so have your way with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our healing journey with Jesus that we've been on for several weeks now continues this morning. And today we have an actual healing story. Jesus is in town. I have to wonder if word got out that Jesus was in our town today. Who would rush to see him? And who couldn't really be bothered? I mean, I hear there's a game on later. Who would rush to see him? On this day, in this town, there was at least one man who wasn't going to miss Jesus for the world. We don't know his name, just his condition, that he was covered in leprosy. Some of you have been in church long enough to know the basics about leprosy. It was a skin disease, but really, ultimately, it would attack the nerves. So it went deeper than the skin. When someone got leprosy, it was a death sentence. Not so much this literal physical death immediately, but more of a social death. And that's because leprosy didn't go away. Once someone got it, they were stuck with it. And it would just get worse and worse. Eventually, it would start to disfigure their faces and their hands and twist their limbs. Tumors would begin to grow all over their bodies. It just took over everything. And almost as bad as these physical effects of leprosy were, the worst part was really the social outcome of it. The infected person, they had to leave the community the second they realized that they were infected, because they were highly contagious. If you just barely touched one or even got some of the spit from one, you could get it. And so they would live outside of town, which then means they would leave their families, they would leave their jobs, they would leave everything and go away. You read way back into Exodus, the old religious laws even said that they couldn't be in the temple because they were unclean. And so as far as they knew, they also had to leave their God. Everything left behind. And if a leper would somehow come near a clean person, it was on them, it was their responsibility to keep the distance and to shout out the warning, "Unclean! I'm unclean." And so that everybody knew to avoid them. This was the daily life of a leper. Imagine waking up one day and looking down at your hands and you see that very first spot. Imagine that feeling in your gut, knowing that from this moment on, your life would never be the same. You were about to lose everything. This day that Jesus enters town, the man was covered in leprosy. Covered. What that means is that he had had it for a while. He didn't just wake up one day covered. It advanced over time. So what that means is it had been years, most likely, since he had seen anyone from his family. It had been years since he had felt human touch. Some of us have so just missed a hug this year. For this man, more so. It had been years since someone looked him in the eyes when he had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean, that's awkward." They would just look aside. Been years since he had been sent off, all but forgotten. Because on this day, he was covered in leprosy. But Jesus is near. Jesus is in town. And he runs to Jesus, right to him. And he bows before him. If you see it, he's making a scene. It's embarrassing, isn't it? But then what does it really matter when you've already lost everything? Who cares if it's embarrassing? He begs Jesus with everyone listening in, "Lord, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Can you just be there a moment? Can you be in that place? Can you see this man? Can you give him a face? Sometimes we don't give them faces. Give him a face. And do you see those twisted limbs? And do you see the body with those tumors? And can you see his face to the ground? And can you hear with your ears his plea to the Lord? Can you feel his desperation? Can you just be in the story? It's told, so we will be in it. Don't just sit back and observe it. Be in it. Can you see him? Can you hear him? Can you feel what he feels? Jesus is near. And the man runs to him. Do we run to Jesus when we know that he's near? Sometimes, right? But not all the times, right? I mean, we kind of know he's near always, don't we? And so what keeps us from running to Jesus over and over and over again, every time we know that he's hanging around? What keeps us from running to Jesus when he's in town? All kinds of things. Sometimes it's just ignorance, right? I mean, nobody told us that Jesus was passing through that day. And no one told us what Jesus could do. What if no one had told the leper this day that this Jesus guy was coming near? Someone told you somewhere along the way. That's why you're here, right? That's why you know him. At some point in your life, you were ignorant about Jesus. It may have been when you were like 6 months old because your parents raised you in the church, but you weren't born just knowing who he was. At some point, you were ignorant about Jesus, and now you're not. Who told you? Who invited you to come and see who he is, to come and see what he can do? Somebody told you. And sometimes as I drive around our little town, I find myself just looking at our community and these homes and these people in the grocery store. And I find that I start thinking about all the people that we call our neighbors who just really simply don't know. No one's ever told them that Jesus is in town, is in our town. And I look at all these people, and so many of them, no one's ever really invited them to come and to see what Jesus can do. I mean, true, not many of our neighbors have leprosy that I know of. But plenty of our neighbors have something that is eating away at them, right? Addiction. Oh my gosh, it's rampant in this town. Depression, anxiety, they're at all-time highs right now. Broken homes on every street, yours included, I promise. The grieving, the wandering, the desperate, they're right here in this zip code. And guess what? So is Jesus. But who's telling them? But who's telling them that there is someone in town today who changes everything? Who's telling them that there is a God who sees them and who loves them and who is so ready to set them free? We're not ignorant. Thanks be to God. We're not ignorant because someone at some point told us that Jesus was in town. And thank God for those someones. But it's time to take the torch and be that someone to our neighbors who just don't even know that Jesus is here. Jesus is in town. Sometimes it's just ignorance that keeps us from seeing him and running to him. Sometimes it's arrogance that keeps us from running to Jesus. Did you catch what this man's very first word is to him? Did you catch it? No? All right, it was Lord. Lord. The very first thing he said to Jesus, Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm all for a savior. I like saviors. When I'm drowning, I love me someone who's got a lifesaver nearby. And when I'm sick, I love the doctor who knows the prescription that's going to make me better. We like saviors. And that's because all saviors do is they come in and they help us. And they don't really ask anything from us. If we're drowning, they don't ask for like what our top five things or beliefs are before they're going to throw us the lifesaver. Are you liberal or are you welcome? They don't care. You got to be saved. They don't ask anything from us. I mean, the doctor sometimes, you know, does that whole thing about telling us to go and lose 30 pounds. But we know that we don't have to listen to him. They're going to give us the medicine anyway. We like saviors. They just come and help us and don't ask anything of us. But a Lord? Most of us don't really think as much of Lords as we do of saviors. We're not as keen on that because Lords, they have authority over us. They have power. They have rule. My Lord is my king. And if he's my king, that means that lords get to actually tell us how to live. And that just kind of rubs us the wrong way, doesn't it? Who's going to tell me how to live my life? And so sometimes our worlds are totally falling apart and we know it. And the very last thing that we are going to do is ask anyone for help. It's the last thing, because that's just going to show that we're not fully capable and that we're not fully in control. Guess what? Everyone already knows that about you anyway. It's okay. It's okay. But God forbid the secret's out that they know that I'm not fully capable, that I'm not fully in control. You see, lords can be demanding. And sometimes in our pride, we just don't want to give anyone space to demand anything from us. Not even God. We'll do it ourselves. We won't ask for help. We won't entertain other opinions about how to live our lives better. And so we get word that Jesus is in town. And arrogance sometimes keeps us away. Because we're not really looking for lords. We're looking just for saviors. Sometimes it's our shame that keeps us from Jesus when he's in town. We're just so convinced somewhere deep in ourselves that he's just going to be so disappointed in us. That he's going to be so disappointed in what we've made of our lives. And just that look from him to us is going to make us feel this small. So we're not even going to risk it. Guess what? If we feel that way, That's not the voice of your Father that's keeping you from Him. It's not. We tell ourselves that we can't possibly deserve any of His time or any of His attention, so we just kind of hide out and let Jesus pass us by. Shame keeps us away. Sometimes what keeps us from throwing ourselves at the presence of Jesus is just our lack of desperation, if we're honest. We're just not desperate. I mean, we're fairly self-sufficient people, most of us, right? I feel that way. And nothing seems to be really falling apart at the moment. I mean, the bills are paid and health is pretty much fine and no one too close is dying that I'm aware of. And so Jesus is in town, but I'm good. I'm good. We'd enjoy seeing Him pass by if He happened to pass our way, but don't really feel this need to go out of our way to throw ourselves in His way. We're fine. We're getting by. We got this. Ever say, I got this. We got this. I mean, why run to Jesus unless we need something from Him, right? Lack of desperation keeps us from catching Jesus when He's in town sometimes. Other times, it's just fear. I think maybe often it's just fear. And namely, the fear of being vulnerable. Because did you notice how vulnerable this man is in the presence of Jesus? So vulnerable. I mean, already he looks ridiculous. So desperate with everyone looking at him. He's laying on the ground, yelling out, making a scene. His mangled body is on full display. Lepers, they were better off hiding in the shadows. It is so vulnerable to come rushing into the presence of a rabbi, a holy, clean man. You can bet they'd be yelling at him to get back in his place. How dare you? Don't you dare put this man of God at risk. So vulnerable coming to Jesus. And if that's not enough, he takes it a step farther. He tells Jesus exactly what he needs. He names out loud, right there, his biggest longing, his most absurd request. If you choose, you can make me clean. If you choose. Do you see why this is so vulnerable? Do you see it? Because he has just named in the presence of Jesus and of all of these people his deepest need. He's just named his greatest pain, and he has just named that thing that he cannot fix himself. How often do we just name it? There's something that brings me to the end of myself, and I can't do a thing about it, and it is killing me. And he names the reality that goes right along with it. And that is that Jesus can choose to give a care about his stuff or not. He has opened himself up to being totally disappointed. Do you see that? This man, he's opened himself up to this chance that Jesus hears his plea and walks away. Without doing a thing about it. He doesn't know how this is going to end. He opens himself up to looking like a fool in front of all of them. His faith tells him that Jesus can do it, but he also knows that he cannot make Jesus do anything. And now here he is gone, and he has shown the entire world just how desperate he is. It's all out. There's nothing hidden. And so if Jesus does turn away without caring for him, he's going to leave this man there on the ground totally exposed. So rejected. You see, it is vulnerable. It is so vulnerable to bring our biggest ask straight to our God, holding nothing back. Just throw it before his presence and see what happens. That is so vulnerable. Because if we dare to trust God with the deepest longing in our hearts, and he doesn't attend to them like we think he should, we are left so exposed. And we're left feeling so rejected, and these doubts start to creep in. That is so vulnerable. And so sometimes our fear of being let down by God just always keeps us at arm's length from God when he comes to town. When we know that Jesus is near, sometimes we'll just rather stand in the crowd and wave at him, "Hi, Jesus. Hi, Jesus." But throw ourselves at his feet and dare to name what we're desperate for. So often we stop short of that because that is so vulnerable. Sure, healing could be on the other side of asking him what we really, really need. But so could a crisis of faith. And so I'll just play it safe and just wave at Jesus as he passes by and never know what might could happen when Jesus comes to town. So I've got a dare for us today. You like dares? Like a few of you do, sweet. All right. We all have to do it this week because it's just a dare, and whether we like it or not, because that's Jesus. But here's the dare for today. It's a good one. I dare you to throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and give him your biggest ask. Your biggest ask. That thing that in your heart of hearts you're desperate for. And that you can't make it happen yourself. Maybe you quit praying about it years ago. Maybe you've never prayed about it because you've just convinced yourself that some things never change. Maybe you don't pray about it because you don't think you're worthy of it. Or you don't think God has the time to really care about that part of your life. He's got other things to do. That's not your God. And maybe you do pray about it, but maybe you kind of tame it down just to be safe so you won't be so disappointed. In my heart of hearts, God, I long for a child to be free from addiction, but today I'm just going to pray that you keep him safe for one more day because that seems more manageable. You see, we're so afraid of disappointment from God that so often we manage our ask from God. We make them so small so God can't possibly disappoint us. And all it is it's fear. It's just fear. It's fear of admitting that there is some stuff that we are desperate for that is bigger than ourselves. It's fear of saying, "You're right, Jesus, I'm not okay, and I need help." It's fear of feeling unloved by God. I dare you. Throw yourself at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, with just one big ask this week. Bigger than you. Something you can't just do yourself and say, "Thanks, Jesus, that was fun." Something bigger than that. I dare you to trust Jesus with the deepest longing that you've got. Don't tame it down and don't reel it in. Don't play it safe. What's the fun in that? Just throw it at his feet and just see if your Jesus just might see you and just might hear your cry and just might love you and just might choose to care for you. I've got a hunch. That's just what he wants to do. You see, we don't know because so often we don't dare to ask the big, vulnerable ask. So I dare you. I dare you. Then what happens? Then what happens? We've got through one verse. Isn't that fun? When you hung out in this weekend, did you sit in one verse that long? There's so much in these beautiful stories. Don't worry, We're not going to spend time on the rest. But we go through one verse. Then what happens? Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched the leper. Did you get that? He touched the leper. Everyone around him, I can guarantee you what they were saying. Don't do that, Jesus. Were you born yesterday? You're going to catch what he has. Jesus touched the leper and he said these words, I do choose. Be made clean. I do choose to see you, to touch you, to heal you. I do choose. Could there be three more beautiful words in all the Gospels? Jesus looking into the eyes of one who had given up on everything and saying, I do choose life for you. I do choose. Do you hear it? It's no longer the leper spoken over you and your big ask. Do you hear it? I do choose. Notice who's contagious here. It's not the leper. Jesus touches him, and Jesus is still clean. You see, the leper, he gets Jesus' cleanness. And Jesus isn't the least bit diminished by the leper's uncleanness. Do you get that? Our Jesus is contagious. With all the good stuff that our bodies and our souls need to live, our Jesus rubs off on us, not us on him. Isn't that good news? We're sensitive these days, for good reason, to this word contagious. If you have a sniffle, you better go in your bedroom and close yourself off for 14 days. Don't rub your germs on me. You are contagious, and your mess puts all of us at risk of being a mess, too. We're used to dirty things contaminating good things. That's how it happens in our world. In our world, sickness is always more powerful than health. The sickness, that's what puts the healthy people at risk. Dirt is more powerful than purity. You don't clean your house real good, then open the front door and expect the outside to get clean too as an overflow. No, the dirt outside comes in. Unholiness is stronger than holiness. We think that. Parents tell their Christian kids all the time not to hang out with a certain crowd because their bad ways going to rub the Jesus out of their kiddos' good ways. But can the other happen too? Can those kiddos who are learning to love Jesus be contagious in a group of the wild kiddos? We rarely want to risk it to find out. But Jesus is always more contagious than any of the mess down here. He can hang out in it. He can move into it. He can touch it and not be diminished by it. That's our Jesus. When I was in college, I befriended an international student from Africa. His name was Charles. And after we graduated, one of my friends and I had heard that Charles was ill and he was in a hospital in Dallas. And so we made an appointment and we went to visit him. We didn't really know what we were walking into, but before we got to his room, the nurses pulled us aside and they said, now look, you've got to do all these protocols to visit him. And they made us put on these full body medical suits. And I don't know any of the right names for any of this. And gloves and masks and face shields and even these like gloves for our feet. What do you call those? Shoe covers. I don't know. Like every single part of us, every part of our flesh, every part of our clothing had to be separated from Charles. We didn't know what was going on, but we knew whatever it was, they were scared to death of him infecting us. We'd find out a year later that Charles passed away from AIDS. And they didn't tell us that in the moment, but they were so scared of this sickness that might get into healthy people and turn their world upside down. So all these protective layers to keep us apart. Jesus touched the leper. with his own bare skin, touched his bare, infected skin. Don't miss that. And he said, I do choose. And Jesus didn't ask for a protective suit before he reached out in compassion. And Jesus didn't need to go find his cloak of purity to keep him clean in this dirty world. We don't rub off on Jesus. Jesus rubs off on us. Our dirt isn't too much for Jesus to know what to do with. Our sickness doesn't threaten our God. Our brokenness doesn't intimidate our God in the least. Jesus rubs off on us. He's the contagious one. All of his goodness is infinitely more powerful than any of our brokenness. Jesus rubs off on us. Do you get it? Thank you. Ah. Do you want to be clean in your dirtiest places? Do you want to be free from your heart sickness? Do you want to be loved beyond your shame? It's just this, my friends. It's this simple. Just come to Jesus. He's in town, this town, and he's ready to touch you in those messiest places. He's not the least bit scared of that. He's ready to wrap his arms around you, and he's ready to speak over your life. I do choose. I do choose to rub off on you. Do you want to be clean? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be well? Just come to Jesus. It's just the most basic gospel message this morning. Sometimes we got to get back to the basics. Just let him touch you. And speak those contagious words, I do choose, over you. When I was in the Middle East, I met a missionary who was doing research on the persecuted church. He would travel all over, and especially in the Middle East. And he told a story about this man from Afghanistan who had been in with some of the terroristic groups. And this man was one of the front lines kind of hitmen in Afghanistan, killing Christians. And he had killed, he said he couldn't even count anymore, in the hundreds of people that he had slain. And this man told his missionary that one night he began to have nightmares. And in these nightmares, he'd see his hands, and his hands were covered in blood. And he would go to the sink and he would start trying to wash it off and the blood wouldn't go away. It just kept coming and coming. And he said, no matter what I did, I couldn't get rid of the blood. I was just covered in the blood. And it would just wake him up every night. All the people he'd killed just stuck to him. And he said, after nights and nights and nights of this torture through this nightmare, he said one night he was sleeping and he saw his bloody hands. And he got up to go to the sink, and he said there in his room was this man in white. He said, my name is Jesus, and I can wash away that blood. And he said, I knew that day that there was only one who could make me clean, and his name was Jesus. I do choose. His bloody hands, Jesus said, I'm not afraid of those. I do choose. Jesus is the contagious one here. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Good news this morning. He's contagious. That means it can actually happen. How do you catch what a contagious person has? You don't know. Watch the news tonight. It'll be the same as it's been for a whole year. They'll tell you. If you want to catch what a contagious person has, just hang out with them. Get as close as you can. Let them breathe on you. Just receive it. Let them hold your hand. Get into their presence without any protective layers on. That's how you catch what a contagious person has. Just let Jesus breathe on you. Hold his hand. Take the protective layers off. Just be with Jesus. And he will rub off on you more and more and more because Jesus is the contagious one. You're hanging out with him. He's not going to become more like you. You're like, darn. You're going to become more like him. And that's good news. Our contagious Jesus, whose heart is to touch messy people and say, I do choose to help you live. He's contagious. Just hang close to him. You'll catch what he has. What's that? Life? Freedom? Healing for your soul? Contagious Jesus. We're getting close so we can catch what you've got. If you, oh Jesus, choose to share it, what do you think his response is? I do choose. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus, that you're contagious in the best sort of way. And so could we dare to come into your presence and throw ourselves at your feet and trust you with the deepest longing of our hearts this day? Could we choose this week, oh Jesus, to walk so close with you that you can breathe on us so we might catch what you have? And that is nothing less than life and healing. Let it be, oh Jesus, you choose. Could we also choose you? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.